Political Watch with Brian Richardson.
We like to hear that music each and every Friday afternoon because it means that Graham Richardson, somewhere from a restaurant in Sydney, is joining us. Hello, Richo.
G'day. I'm at the Malaya, overlooking the edge of the harbour. There's a tall ship across from me and a tall beer in front of me, so it's all okay.
Okay. So you've had a pleasant lunch.
I have indeed.
Okay, let me ruin it for you. We're going to play you some audio, which I really wanted to play. I don't know whether you've heard this. Maybe you have. It's doing the rounds at the moment. But it's in reference to our favourite senator, Lydia Thorpe, because she now says she's been diagnosed with an allergy. Now, I've got an allergy to dust. People have allergies to pollen, all those sort of things. She has an allergy to this, Richo.
I got sucked into his bad behaviour. I responded because I think that I'm allergic to racists.
Fair.
And if Albo wants to know about my health, then I've been diagnosed with an allergy to racists, and it just comes out now.
But your own father says you're a racist.
Look, my dad, since he moved to Queensland, he's changed a lot. Racism, you have to understand what racism is, and racism is about a race. Now, white people don't fall into that category, so that's why it's called racism.
Racism, Richo. Can you believe that garbage? Honestly?
No, what she said, I've just listened to it, and I have no idea what she said.
She has been diagnosed as having an allergy, and that allergy is she is allergic to racism.
Well, I think like most of Australia, I'm allergic to her.
You know, I got an email this week from a listener, and they said this. The Governor-General was able to sack Gough Whitlam. Why can't the Governor-General sack Lydia Thorpe? And I thought, that's a good email.
I tell you what, it wouldn't be a bad idea. We'd have very wide support. That's for sure.
It sure would. Look, Peter Dutton's been accused of, has accused Labor of misleading voters over its plan to increase migration levels to record high. We've had, I suppose there was a story today saying that we're looking at migration levels of around about 350,000 people, and that is for 2022-23. Where are they going to stay? Where are they going to live, Richo?
No, it's a good question, to which no one has an answer. But we are in desperate need of more skilled labour. And so provided these people who are coming in have the skills, then it won't take very long to build places for them to live. But we do need to fill some skill shortages, and we need to fill them quickly.
There's a story out during the week. It says the Voice referendum may result in the result not being known on the night. Well, that's hardly surprising. I would suggest that the Electoral Commission is not going to get us a result on the night if it is particularly close. It brings me to this question, Graham. If it's going to be close, and obviously Anthony Albanese wants a yes vote, okay, do you think between now and when we go to the polls for this referendum, do you think that the Prime Minister has to come out and give Australians answers to questions, more information about this yes vote, so that they can go to the polls with definite answers to their queries?
Well, there's got to be much more information, because so far we have no idea what the voice is. How do you vote for something when you don't know what it is? I mean, it's just some amorphous idea that people have. But it's never been fleshed out. And I'm not voting for it unless it is fleshed out.
Have you had a discussion with Anthony? Because I know you and Anthony have a huge history. You're good mates. Have you had an opportunity to have a discussion with him? Do you think his advisers would be having discussions with him about, mate, we've got to give them more information about this?
Well, mate, I've just received a text from Anthony. Not a terribly positive one. I've been admonished for my stand. And so I haven't had a discussion, just an exchange of texts But at this stage of the game, I've said I'm not voting for it, and I remain in that position.
May I ask you, are you surprised you received that text? Obviously, the tone is not a positive one. He's having a crack at you for voicing your opinion. You're able to voice your opinion. You're able to say what you want to say. That's why people like talking to Graham Richardson.
Well, I don't say what I'm told to say. I say what I believe. And I'm not voting for The Voice unless it is well and truly fleshed out and we know exactly who is The Voice, how does The Voice work. When I can answer those questions, I might think about voting for it.
Because, Graham, a lot of people say to us here on the program that, you know, the Indigenous community already has, through one body, the NIAA, of which there's about 1,300 people work in the NIAA, they already have a voice to Parliament and have had a voice to Parliament for years. Can I ask you this? You and I have touched on this subject many times over the years, and that is the billions and billions of dollars that we pay to the Indigenous community, right? But the money seems to be going into the wrong areas. It's not getting into the right hands to solve our problems. It is the belief of many people that this Indigenous voice is not going to change the stories that we're currently reading about of what's going on in Alice Springs, the stories about, you know, children being raped, all these sort of situations. It's not going to change, Graham.
No, it will change none of that. That has been an intractable problem for 100 years, and will remain so for another 100, I dare say. And there are some things, mate, you can't fix.
So what are you saying by that? Are we continuing to throw good money at, I suppose, bad problems?
We throw the good money at it because it makes us feel better.
Right.
But we don't achieve anything with that money.
It just seems so senseless that we're wasting that money then.
Well, we are wasting it. You know, I said the other day, if, you know, this money won't, this idea of The Voice and what we're spending on it won't cover one open sewer in an Aboriginal encampment. Not one. And that's, I think, the main task we have is to make people's health better and make them safer.
Oh, dear, it's so sad. It really is. Still on the subject of Anthony Albanese, I see he's yet to formally invite. This is a light-hearted subject after The Voice. He's yet to formally invite King Charles III to visit Australia. Now, that apparently has put noses out of joint. Apparently, we know Albo's a Republican, but apparently he is supposed to have invited King Charles III officially to come and visit Australia, but he hasn't done that yet. Slap on the wrist, Richo.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you need to be in a mad rush to do it, but I wouldn't even slap him on the wrist for it. It'll happen. We'll invite Charlie, and Charlie will come.
This is completely on a different track. The CBA have put out a report this week that have found that 8 out of 10 families are finally starting to talk about money at home, and 87% of children are buying things with their own money, 60% are earning money of their own, and two-thirds of kids are applying spending strategies such as waiting for sales, shopping around, and recognising wants versus needs. When I read this, I thought, fantastic. Finally, we're getting through to kids that you can't have it today. You've got to save for it. You've got to realise whether you really need it. And then if you do, you go out and buy it.
Yeah, well, that's the way it's supposed to work. But it doesn't always work that way. I mean, a lot of people just get tempted halfway through the saving period to go and buy something else. And it'll always be the case.
Don't you think, though, that schools, as part of the curriculum, should be teaching kids how to manage money? I mean, we learn about geography, we learn about history, but so many of us don't ever use what we have learnt in our lives. We don't follow those fields. But
we should definitely be taught something about how to handle money, mind you, we should also be taught civics so that we understand how we're governed, because very few people in Australia know the answer to that.
True. Yeah. Richo, do we, in 2023, do we need an ABC?
Very good question. I'd still say yes. I think overall, it's a positive thing for us, especially for people in the bush, but it has become bloated. And it has become, I think, too much a navel-gazing organisation concerned about issues that affect the staff and not just the issues that affect Australia.
Now, the ABC have been accused so many times of, you know, of being in Labor's corner. And particularly we have seen, I suppose, on many occasions, what the ABC think about this voice. They want the voice to get over the line. But that's not what the ABC's job is. The ABC's job is to, A, produce, you know, interesting and entertaining programs. And on the news side, and news and current affairs side of things, it's their job to report the news, is it not?
It is. But for quite some time, they've been doing a lot more than that. They are very much on the left, and they promote those views.
The nation's military is going to receive a major boost in long-range strike power. The defence paper was released on the eve of Anzac Day. The Labor Party have copped a bit of flak about that, haven't they?
They have indeed. I mean, I think that probably wasn't the most brilliant move they've ever come across, but still, it happens sometimes. You can't get everything right.
Richo, I'm going to let you go and enjoy your lunch. It's a noisy restaurant you're in.
It is a bit noisy, but I'm looking at the harbour. I'm looking at a ferry going by. As I said, I'm looking at tall ships.
Shut up.
So as far as I'm concerned, it's not too bad.
All right, mate. Thanks for spending some time with us. You enjoy the rest of your afternoon and have a beer for us.
Pleasure, and we'll talk next week.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye, Richo.